week, and we said Peter gave a testimony of who he felt Jesus was. But who do you say Jesus is? And I think we went on to examine many things that the Bible, many roles and things that the Bible teaches us that our Lord Jesus Christ is. We emphasize that Jesus, from Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, that Jesus is our advocate. Our advocate. And we examine what it felt to have an advocate. I'm listening to a court case going on in Nigeria. And in Nigeria, we have sons, senior advocates. In the US, we have law firms that are reputed for winning cases. They just know about the law. We're not going to play that video, Anika. I think the video we played is sufficient. And the importance of having an advocate. Honestly, at times, I think the law is construed for those who have the best advocates. We have sons in Nigeria on both sides, learned men and colleagues. But in heaven, all of that law does not work. There's only one lawyer, one advocate, and he is our personal advocate. We were taught that. In fact, the way Hebrews set the Lord Jesus Christ up in Hebrews is to say to us that you are quite familiar with angels. You know, Angel Michael, come down. Angel Gabriel, come and do your thing. But he told us Jesus is a lot better than an angel, and he gave us proof in Hebrews chapter 1. From the prophets, to which of the angels did the Lord ever say, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? So whoever wrote Hebrews was making an academic, a compelling, an intellectual case that this Jesus that we just mentioned by first name is greater than an angel. And he's both a high priest to us and an advocate. And again, because the word in English is advocacy. The word in Yoruba, my other language, is so much more powerful. And it so much more resonates with my soul. It's something that goes to the extent that Olubejani. You know, Yoruba language calls it a word, but really, the Yoruba describes things in sentences. Although they say word, Olubejani is a full sentence. But it's condensed into an advocate. If you've ever been in trouble, and we are in real trouble, because we have inherited a sin that your good behavior and your compliance cannot absolve you from. We are to appear before a court that if you were to stand there personally, you will be quaking and trembling and you would not be able to defend yourself. We are being judged by a God who the Bible tells us cannot behold iniquity. So you can imagine how high the standard of acquittance in that case is. But we have Jesus, the advocate. Now, but what is the practical application of this from last week? Because we have an advocate, you can be confident. One of our friends in Florida's kids got into trouble, and I got a call frantically. Oh, this boy has done this. It's Kentucky, actually. Deep Kentucky. And the parents were frazzled. The case against this boy was very bad on the surface. We don't even know what to do. Well, the next time I spoke with them, someone said we should get an advocate, a lawyer. The third time I spoke with them, we spoke with a lawyer and they were calm. Okay, so what's the situation? And the mom said to me, when the lawyer heard, the lawyer said to me, that he knows the judge. I only need to show up. This is America. It doesn't happen just in Africa. This is about maybe 6, 7, 8 months after the fact, there's no case anymore. In fact, the boy did not show up. That was how naughty the boy was. And yet there's no case. It's very important when you've committed a crime to have an advocate. Oh, the souls that will appear before the judgment throne without an advocate. We have a lot to be grateful. And Hebrews chapter 1 and chapters 1 and 2 make it clear to us the advocacy of the Lord Jesus, and we talked about it last week. Practical application. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. If you have an advocate, why do you sweat? Why do you fight for yourself? It means anything, any case you have, take it to Jesus. He will advise you and counsel you. He will acquaint you. Your lawyer is also your judge. How wonderful. If you can employ your judge as your lawyer. So we can come broadly to the throne of mercy, the Hebrews writer told us, to receive mercy and the grace to help in our time of need. But we also pointed out last week that those who really never think about this need for an advocate are those who are not conscious of how much trouble that they are in. Some people think that peradventure they will appear before, if I've heard it before, that the Lord will weigh your good and your bad. Whichever one, if your good weighs more than your bad, you go to heaven. It's ignorance. But the Bible says all have sinned. Our default position is that we were sinners. We are. Romans 3:23. I'm falling short of the glory of God. Last week, we said this. Romans 6:23. The Lord said that the wages, be clear about this. The wages of this sin is not purgatory. It's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You can be the founder of Reddit, be the founder of Apple, be the founder of Carnegie Corporation. You could have acquired whatever positions or not, whether you are Biden, Secretary of Defense, whatever, you are guilty of sin. Your excellence on earth cannot solve the problem that we are talking about. No universities on earth can solve this problem of the debt of sin to God. You could be the best father and mother in the world. You owe God the debt of sins. Romans 6:23. All the wages of this sin is death. And you inherited this curse in your first parents. But thank God for Jesus, who has taken it away. Jesus, our advocate. But first, we must know how much trouble we are in. I was speaking with my wife this week. Said we attend funerals. But one day, I don't know, I can't remember if it was. It was after a funeral, at a funeral, that I realized that we often cry for the wrong reasons. At a funeral, that is where the real life of a Christian begins. It's a transition to glory. But how many people have we been by their graveside? And we are not sure whether they have an advocate where they are going. And there's no do-over. The case of God, there's no appeal, is the supreme, ultra supreme court. The court that is so important, God keeps deferring. You know how in Nigeria that they said that they can defer your case for 20 years. You could have served out the possible terms. Sorry, I only know Nigeria. That's why I'm talking. I don't know how it is in other countries. But the injustice at times is so great that the case that you're supposed to spend 5 years in, they will put you in jail just trying the case. And you would have spent 7 years. Then one kind judge we look at it and say, okay, I'll just find you guilty anyway, but you've already served seven, we should have, so you are free to go. This case for our soul is so important that every day God keeps deferring the judgment day so that none will come into condemnation. We talked about this week, last week. But we bless the Lord for Jesus. This Jesus we preach. More important than career. More important, people measure you by the degrees you earn, or the boys and the girls you birth, or the positions you have in life. Those who have you have those. They will tell you, vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. It will come to a time, like Solomon taught us in Ecclesiastes, that you will look back and you will say, I have been there, done that. What is this all about? It is vanity. But for those who have Jesus, you can always look forward. I pray we will not miss out on the promise of God through Christ Jesus. The Bible says he went about preaching the kingdom. There was a reason Jesus did not go about telling fishermen, you have to upgrade yourself to have a better career on earth. Why waste your time following me? Go and join the school of Nicodemus so that you can learn. He had something way better. Was preparing us for the kingdom that will never end. This is why all churches are built. And he said we should always remember that. Jesus, our advocate. But today, real quick, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Because I want to talk about a topic, and I pray God the Lord, because Hebrews is very dense. Hebrews is a theologian's book, very, very dense. But I pray that the Lord will help us to decompose Hebrews 3 and 4 in very simple language so that we will take something from it. I'll start reading from verse 1. And the topic today is unbelief, right? It says, therefore, holy brethren, please note that, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ was faithful to him who appointed him. Who appointed the Lord Jesus Christ? Everybody? Was faithful to God the Father. Our master, our Lord Jesus, was faithful to his Father, according to this writer. The same way that Moses was also faithful in his house. For this one, verse 3, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, in the same way that the person who built a house has more honor than the house itself. I hope you are following this man's logic. Please follow this man's logic. Every house is built by someone, but he that built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house like a servant and for a testimony of those things which should be spoken afterward. But this Jesus that we talk about this morning, brethren, he was faithful as a son over his own house. And who is this house? A son whose house we are. And then there's that condition there. What is that condition? The next word. What? This is verse 5, verse 6. But Jesus as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if. Often in this church, I think I've said we must, and we tend to ignore the ifs, because we must be conscious of the ifs. We like the message so far. We are the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abby, that's the sweet part. But there's a condition there. And it is this condition that I want to talk about. It's like you hear they are giving away free iPhones at the Apple store in Colombia starting 4 o'clock. good news. Kiki, I've not seen you smile in a long time. I just said that poof, man. You started smiling. And everybody goes, that was the news you heard. But the condition is if you have a trading, but you don't pay attention to the condition, you're a Samsung person like Sister Folake. And she carries a phone. She wants free Apple. Free. You don't want free Apple. Now lie. Okay, all right. The condition is if you have a trading, it's happened to me. It's not, it wasn't free iPhone, right? It's just the many situations in this America where you don't listen to the precondition. And then you get there, you see that those who have iPhone 2, iPhone 1, they are getting free. But you have the latest Samsung. But this is the latest Samsung. I think the full message is if. The Bible is full of ifs. And I think that many times we hear the beginning of a story. But Jesus wants us to pay attention to the conditions. Because for every engagement, there are rules and there are laws. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, said, the race we're running, we must learn to run it acceptably, with fear and with godly reverence. He doesn't say here that we're his house if we come to service every Sunday. He doesn't say here that we're his house if we say the sinner's prayer. What does it say? If we hold fast, what? It scares me, brethren. Good news, good news. Christ died for me. Does anybody know that song? Sing it now. Where are the old SUs in this church? You should know that song. Good news, Christ died for me. Good news, if I believe. Good news, unicorn. I'll live eternally. Some wonderful good news. Yeah, Sunday school. Yeah, we used to sing that in staff school. This is adding to it. It says we must also hold fast. What does the beginning of our confidence mean? If we hold fast, the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end, we are God's house. What does holding fast, the beginning of our confidence mean? You people are going to make me preach, and I try not to preach. I try to have a conversation. Who will volunteer? Verse 6. Nobody will volunteer? What does that clause, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end, what does it mean? I speak this morning a matter that I think is the essential matter in our race today. I told you that I've been reading the history. Oh, we have a glorious history of Christianity from the West Indies to Africa. Our history of faith is so intertwined with our modernization, with the civilization of our race. The stories of our missionaries and the stories of the development of our land and our country are so intertwined and so interesting. We have so many unsung heroes. The state of our continent as a black nation then, for those who are black, I think everybody's black. was so dark and the hope that the gospel brought was so bright. And we do not know a lot about what had gone down. Many of the people whose blood was shed on the shores of our land, people who came, but some people who are Lagosians, you don't even know the story of Lagos. People who came from Sierra Leone to sow the seed of what is modern civilization now, starting from the shores of Lagos into the interior through the Niger. If they looked back, our dear Samuel Ajayi Crowder and our fathers in the faith, if they look back today and they see what the landscape of spirituality is, they would weep. Because the beginning of the confidence has not been held steadfast unto the end. I don't want to speak big grammar. Ibrahim, do you understand all the big grammar that I just spoke? So what does that clause mean? If this is the only thing we'll treat today, I just want us to know that this part is in the Bible, and this is one of the parts that scare me the most. I'll call a name. Thank you very much. Maybe it's the King James translation that is making it difficult for people. If we are Christ's house, only if we do what? Keep our courage and remain confident to the end. Any other translation? If we hold the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end.
Yeah, so I have an NIV and it says, we hold firmly to our confidence in the hope in which we glory. So I think it's referring to us remaining faithful. And I think when you're talking about the beginning, probably the foundations, like the pillars of Christianity, keeping that in practice.
Amen. I have a note here that says, many times we have been taught that it's important to come to the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't think we have encouraged one another enough to abide in that confidence. God expects us to be faithful. When he comes, he will come for a church that without blemish and stain. There's this assumption that as long as you are in, the Lord will just come. And by the time at times we realize that he's actually coming for those, that his house are those who are in him in the same way as of the time when they first believed. Paul would say in a place that remember when you first believed, when you would not lie with your friends, when you were ridiculed by your family, when you did everything for the sake of God, when you were not going to go late to church, when you were just going to have a quiet time with the Lord, when everybody around you said you now have a strange religion, and they made fun of you, and they cast you away, and Jesus was your number one. Are you still like that? This passage says, but Christ, verse 6, chapter 3, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm. If, when the trumpet of the Lord will sound, he's not just going to pick anybody in the church. He himself says that when he comes, there will be 10 virgins. All of them virgins. All of them. And they'll be waiting. And 5 will be taken. The 5 will be the 5 with what? With oil in their lamp. The other 5 will not be ready. And they will beg and say, they will go out. When they hear the trumpet, they will realize there's no more oil in their lamp. They will go out and try to get oil, but it will be too late. Because they ought to have been ready. I pray that none of us would have lost the love, the fervency, the faithfulness that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Said the trumpet will sound at a time when we do not expect. So verse 7 said, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not what? The Holy Spirit has been knocking on your heart for one thing or the other for years. I know that in this place, as many as have the Spirit of the Lord, there are things that you have been deferring. There are things that you have to settle with God, things that have to do with conscience. Sins, besetting sins. Things that you know that if the trumpet were to sound today, would disqualify you. Things that you are hoping that Christ will overlook. But it says that if you hear his voice today, do not harden your heart as they did in rebellion in the day of the trial in the wilderness. He said, your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. But I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. These were people that were brought out of Egypt. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul told us the story. These were people that were ordained unto the land for the land flowing with milk and honey. There were people who received the promise that God made to Abraham. When the Lord said, 473 or 83 years, your people shall be in bondage. But then he will send a deliverer who will rescue them. And yet they did not enter into their rest. Because they did not hold. Old English says, hold the beginning of their confidence steadfast to them. So today is the day to turn to the Lord again. Don't because of earthly riches forfeit the kingdom of God. Say, what will he profit a man if you were to gain the whole world and do what? On the day of judgment, red carpet, I don't know what carpet is, but here on earth, a world day is always signified with red carpet. We'll be gorgeously dressed. We'll be dressed in the robe of righteousness. And the Lord will hand out reward. Every man will be examined according to Revelations, according to the works of his hands, the last chapter of Revelations. What will be the testimony about you? Well, nobody knows what day that will be. For you, it's been given unto man once to die, and after that is the judgment. The Lord will not ask you, what kind of car did you drive? I've been really blessed by the history of our nation and our continent that I've been reading. There are some remarkable personalities in our history. All of them are names on the streets of Nigeria. Most of our children don't even know them. These people made tremendous sacrifices. They were nationalists. And in the world. We mentioned Martin Luther King in this country. The man is a perfectly dead man. He cannot get you a job. With all his glory, the only thing that remains now, on that day, Martin Luther King will stand. And Sister Buki, who knows who will be in front of you? All of those credentials do not matter. If you are not known on earth, you would have suffered a loss. In heaven, you would have suffered a loss. Fame is deceptive. Money is deceptive. But Jesus has come to give to us everlasting glory. When we come into church, we preach the kingdom of God. We preach something that cannot be bought with money. Free gift from God, who does not discriminate. We don't preach riches. We don't preach cleverness. The Lord Jesus Christ used fishermen. He does not care for all of these attributes. All these things are gifts. If you are wise, that you may use it to his glory. Because with every gift, he will ask you what you did with it. He will give account and to whom much is given. A lot of questions will be asked on judgment day. The way I interpret that is that a president will have a lot more to answer for than a janitor. because God gave you more power. And the janitor will be very happy on that day. It means that when I'm being cross-examined, my cross-examination will be 30 minutes. A pastor, we stand for 2 hours. Be ye not many teachers, because you shall receive the greater condemnation. All of these are in scriptures, and God does not lie. Where I'm going is this, as we close. It's common to talk about how we start the race. Let's start talking about how we are steadfast. How are you in the Lord today? Are you in the Lord the way you started? The first day that Jesus met with you, have you lost a stride? Today, do not harden your heart as you hear the voice of the Spirit. Today, make up with your Savior. Tomorrow may be too late. Is there a deceitfulness of sin? You know all the things that the Bible says he does not like? Are you fornicating? Are you full of anger? Are you prideful? We don't talk about, it's as if sin does not exist in the church. Nobody talks about sin anymore. Meanwhile, sin is our greatest enemy. Sin is the one that will take away that glorious promise from us. We talk about career. We talk about Sister Kenya. I hope you are well. How is your body? We talk about the physical health. But that sickness of the soul that Jesus died for, do we need to look at one another and say, Kiki, are you ready for the trumpet to sound? Darian, are you in a good place today? May the Lord keep us and help us. My wife said to me, she drove to right out the major street next to our home. There's roundabout. What do you people call it here? Okay, there's a sanko. We have a roundabout around the house. And we go there. You want to get gas, go there. Until she went there and she found a Hispanic family right in the middle of the roundabout, and a little flower shrine, a little shrine was set up at the side. You know, when you see that means someone died on that spot. And she said to me, we always pray for those who are flying in planes. When we want to travel long distance, we pray. We're always conscious, please bring them back. She said, right outside our door, that was the end of the story for someone. That's a roundabout that we've been passing every day. We don't know the day, brethren. We don't know. I pray that for you, the church will not be a club or a social gathering. I pray that for you, your faith in Jesus will be the most precious thing. We are his house if we hold the beginning of our confidence. What that means is that it's not enough to just start a race. The Bible describes, if we have the time to read further down, that those who started well and they are now living in disobedience, he calls them unbelievers. The Bible describes that action as unbelief. When we talk about unbelievers, we only talk about people who had the gospel and never accepted it, right? But this Hebrews chapter 3 describes unbelief as those who received it gladly. But with the passage of time, they have stopped obeying. He called it unbelief. There are two kinds of unbelief. There's the unbelief of those that Lot was preaching to, and they refused to come out of, what's the city? Sodom. And then there's the unbelief of Lot's wife, whom the angel said, do not turn back, because if you turn back, it's a problem. She left Sodom. She believed that Sodom was going to be destroyed. But in the course of the journey, the Bible, one sentence, but Lot's wife looked back. She became a pillar of salt. That is the unbelief that we have in the church. Pray. Either of those unbelief will not get you to the promised land. But we don't talk about it. Be fervent in spirit. Watch one another. If you see a brother that is in sin, the Bible says that in a spirit of humility, you should correct such a brother. But we all don't want to interfere in one another's personal lives. So, Brother Wale, you see something unusual? You see me doing something that normally, where you used to know me, I wouldn't do, and you keep quiet because you don't want to interfere. The Lord will ask you on Judgment Day. We ought to watch. It's not just the... We're going out to preach to the unbelievers outside the church. How about the unbelief within the church? There's no difference. Not all who call me Lord, Lord, will see the kingdom of God. How about the unbelieving? It's so much easier to preach to other people's children. How about your own children? And in your own home. Even more than that, do you preach to yourself? You see yourself backsliding. Have you spoken to yourself? Because there are many books in the Christian bookshop that give you confidence in unbelief. Because there were many false prophets in Israel as well. But it took a Jeremiah, a lonely voice. Remember the story of Jeremiah and the false prophet? There were a lot of them. One, deal with the unbelief. For what will it profit you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What can a man give in exchange? Jesus wants to embrace us. We are his house only if we keep the love. In fact, Christ came in Revelation and said, brethren, you have lost your first love. And we go about preaching as though all he required was the initial love that brought you in. And he's not monitoring your heart every day to see whether you love him. But he told his servants, lovest thou me? Do you love me more than these things? Do you love me more? I close by asking the question I asked last week. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? It's not hypothetical. Please answer. Do you love Jesus? But are you in love with Jesus? Praise the Lord. We must be able to answer. What your lips says, make sure your heart says it. Because on that day, there will be no read my lips. Was it Reagan? Who is read my lips? It was George Bush. Read my lips. Nobody is reading your lips. Your heart will be testifying. And God knows the heart. Praise the Lord. Help us, Father, to go and deal ruthlessly by your grace and your spirit with anything that will prevent us from seeing your glory. On this side of eternity, teach us your love. I pray that our boasting and our confidence will be in Jesus and in your kingdom. Give us the grace to examine our lives so much so as we see the day approaching. I pray, Lord, that you convict us of your righteousness, of your judgment. I pray, Lord, that it will please you to separate us from the masses. Give us the courage to run this race, to speak truth one to another in love, and Lord, to be aided by this truth. Father, we ask not just that you be our Father, you are, but we ask, Father, that you help us to be pleasant sons and daughters to you. Give us the grace to live the remnant of our days for you, like our fathers did, who sacrificed their lives and everything. Father, I pray, Lord, like we'll not be like the couple that hid their substance from you, Lord. I pray that there will be nothing within us hidden. Pray that our hearts will be amenable to truth, even though it hurts. Pray, Father, that we will not be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin, in the name of Jesus. We just want to be among the few who will choose the crooked gate and the narrow path. Bless us, Lord. Thank you for all of these things you've given to us. But Father, do not give us these things and take eternity from us. Do not let the devil, rob us of that hope of your calling. Every time we open your word, Help us to see what is your will, your whole truth, that we may live by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Let's use the next few minutes to observe the table of the Lord. And I will read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. I will stop here. As the word of God says, let us take this time to really examine our hearts before we take this bread. We've heard the word this morning, and I'm sure the Lord is talking on our hearts. Is there anything unworthy of the Lord in our hearts? He said we should judge ourselves. Let each of us judge ourselves now so that we may not be judged with the world. When Christ broke this bread with he actually broke it with the 12 disciples, right? He was in the presence of believers when Christ was saying this. So we should not take the words of the Lord lightly. Let's judge ourselves. Let's examine ourselves and let's repent and ask for help from heaven. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and to participate in your body and in your blood. We pray, Father, that, Lord, should there be anything unworthy within us, please forgive, O Lord. We ask for the grace to overcome, O Lord. We pray that, Father, your name will always be glorified on our lips, O Lord, and in our hearts, O Lord. That will be yours totally, totally, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. We do this, O Lord, in remembrance of you, of what you did on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us. That by the beating that you received, by the insults that you received, by your blood that you shed, you became the perfect sacrifice for our sins, that we may be redeemed, that our salvation will be sure in you. Lord, we receive this, we do this, O Lord, with a humble heart, O Lord, in reference of you, of what you have done. We thank you, Lord, for what you did, O Lord, on the cross of Calvary for us. We thank you, Lord, for exchanging, O Lord, the pain and the agony that we would have faced as sinners before God. But Lord, you took that sacrifice upon yourself. You took, O Lord, that shame upon yourself, O Lord. And Lord, we honor you, we bless you, we worship you. Thank you, Lord, for everything, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's wait for everyone to receive the bread and the wine. You can go to the Sunday school. We can now partake. If you are done, let's rise and share the grace in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, your goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.